The Arc of Millions of Years, The Wheel of Time Untime. This chapter is a continuation of The Future World from Volume 1. The ancient Maya of Mexico and Central America and the North American band of the Thunderbolts, Cherokee of Northern Tennessee and Kentucky, shared a similar calendar device for measuring time. The Cherokee called this device the Wheel of Time Untime. The following is an ancient account of this device. And brought among the people was the Wheel of Time Untime, the calendar of the Cherokee, wheels upon wheels, markings upon markings, time untime. The ancient Mayan priest astronomers also calculated calendar time with a similar device of interlocking wheels engraved with markings. From this point forward, we will refer to the Wheel of Time as the Wheels of Time, or in the plural, as more than one wheel was involved. The Wheels of Time, moving forward, would measure the present time and future calendrical and astrological events. If the wheels were moved backward, as the undoing of time, past events, such as eclipses, could be recalled on a certain date. Thus, the name of time untime. By counting the number of revolutions of each wheel, it was possible to project thousands of years into the future and into the past. By looking at the markings that coincided with each notch on the wheels, future events could be predicted and past events could be recalled. One could say that not only was the device used to measure days, but it also measured cosmic time based on cycles in the physical third dimension and spiritual fourth and fifth dimensions. Because this device had the ability to measure interdimensional time, it became much more complex to understand. In spite of its complexity, it was an extremely accurate and marvelous device that both cultures possessed and considered sacred. Without getting into the complicated mechanics of understanding of the Mayan calendar, we will touch only on the basics, because the Maya understood 17 different calendars based on the cosmos. These calendars, some which calculate back as far as 10 million years, are so difficult that one would need to employ an army of astronomers, astrologers, geologists, and mathematicians just to work out the calculations. It is fortunate for us that we need to work with only three of these calendars, the Ha'ab, the Tun'uk, and the Tzolk'in. Of the three, the Tzolk'in is considered the most important because it has the most influence. The Ha'ab, or civil short calendar, measures the cycles of Earth that has 360 plus 5 days, for a total of 365 days. The Ha'ab uses 18 months with 20 days in each month. There is a 19th month called U'ayyib, which uses the 5 extra days. The short count derives from combining the Tzolk'in calendar with the solar year and the Venus cycle of 584 days. In this way, short periods of 13, 52, and 104 years are generated. The Tun'uk measures the cycles of the moon. It uses 28-day cycles that mirror the woman's moon cycle. This cycle of the moon is further broken down into 4 smaller cycles, or 7 days each. These smaller cycles are the 4 phases of the moon cycle. The Tzolk'in is the divine or religious long count calendar of the Maya, used to measure the cycles of the Pleiades, a cycle being 26,000 years. It consisted of 13 months, each month being 20 days long. This calendar uses the sacred numbers of 13 and 20. The 13 represents the numbers, and 20 represents the sun or day glyphs. It paired the numbers 1 through 13 with a sequence of the 20-day name glyphs. For example, 1 Imix would be similar to Sunday the 1st, followed by 2 IK, or Monday the 2nd. Within this calendar are 4 smaller cycles called seasons of 65 days, and there are also portal days that create a double helix pattern using 52 days and the mathematics of 28. The portal days apparently were capable of measuring interdimensional and cosmic time. The concept of zero was also understood by the Maya, who wrote it like a shell glyph. Even when trying to explain the basic Mayan calendar, it can become a very complex thing. The name, meaning, and symbols can vary in different Maya dialects, further complicating translation. Even the colors on the glyphs have meanings. The elaborate glyphs were a formal writing system of the Maya. The calendar round, or wheels of time, are best described as 2 interlocking gears, one smaller than the other. One of the gears is called the Tzolk'in, or sacred round, and the other is the Ha'ab, or calendar round. As both these wheels turned, so passed the Mayan years. It took 52 years for the Tzolk'in and Ha'ab calendars to move through a complete cycle. The traditional Maya in the highlands of Guatemala, Belize, and other parts of Central America still use the sacred calendar, or Tzolk'in, for divination and religious purposes. When a Maya child is born, a reading is done by the daykeepers of the Tzolk'in to forecast the child's destiny. The day glyphs determine the destiny, such as occupation best suited for a person. If they do not follow the destiny the calendar determines, it is believed that the person will neither find success nor fulfillment in life. A child born on a bad day receives its name on a good day to rule out all harmful effects of the bad day. It is not to be confused with an astrology forecast, because the Tzolk'in calendar based its readings from an entirely different system, not based on the astrology signs. A day was called a keen, and still is today. A 20-day month was called an uinal. One solar year was a tune, 20 tunes a katun, and 20 katuns a baktun, 13 of which take us back to the starting date of the Mayan long count calendar, August 13th, 3114 BC. The term long count means to calculate or count the days since a certain day or date. Why this particular date? Because it was the end of the fourth sun and the beginning of the fifth sun. On August 13th, 3114 BC, the sun conjoined the sacred tree, or the Milky Way, marking the end of the fourth sun. Every 5,125 years, the sun aligns with the center of the Milky Way galaxy, or sacred tree. When this occurs, it marks the end of a sun. The great year was then divided by these lesser sun cycles of 5,125 years to produce 5 world ages. The first 4 world ages have been destroyed. We live in the 5th world age that is predicted to be destroyed by earthquakes in December of 2012. The first 4 having been destroyed by jaguars, wind, rain, and water. They either brought the knowledge of the long count calendar to this continent when they arrived here from the Middle East, or were given the knowledge from the Nephilim, or obtained it from Quetzalcoatl during his early travels in South America, Central America, and Mexico. The Book of Mormon actually records one of the Lord's, Quetzalcoatl, early visits to the Nephites, Toltecs, of the ancient Mexico in Mosiah chapter 27, probably between 120 and 100 BC. Due to the complexity of the Mayan calendar, only the priests were capable to work the calculations necessary to predict growing seasons for crops and various astronomical events for religious rites. It was also consulted as a type of astrology forecast on a particular day by individuals seeking advice. For the priests, it was a sort of job security, to be the only ones able to do the calculations. By knowing when to plant, when to harvest, when the rainy and dry seasons would occur, knowing the times of the equinoxes in relation with the movement of the sun, and other astrological events, such as predicting eclipses, etc., gave them total power and control over the people. It appeared to the people that the priests had a sort of magical power, given to them by the gods. Where did the pre-classic Maya acquire the wheels of time device? Knowledge of the calendar, knowledge of the cosmos, and knowledge of the spiritual dimensions? Without first reading the Ark of Millions of Years, Volume 1, it would be impossible to fully understand the answer. According to ancient traditions, the Toltecs, or Nephites, were learned in the arts of astronomy and other sciences. They were the ones who gave the calendar system to the pre-classic Maya. Quetzalcoatl is also attributed to have given knowledge of the calendar, writing, books, and architecture to the Maya as founder of their religion. It is altogether possible that the Toltecs, Nephites, and Quetzalcoatl worked together to perfect their calendar system and pass the knowledge on to the pre-classic Mayas, for it is now known that the Mayas adopted their calendar system from an earlier culture. Legends speak of Quetzalcoatl having lived among the Toltec Nephite people for various periods of time and in different locations, which suggests that he traveled and lived among various tribes. The Book of Mormon recorded another visit in 3 Nephi chapters 11 through 17. In addition, the Book of Mormon, in Mormon chapter 9 and chapter 34, validates that the Nephite Toltecs brought with them to this continent a system of writing which was later changed into a system that only they understood. The pre-classic Maya probably patterned their terminology and style of writing after the Nephite Toltec style. However, the placing of the characters to form the words would be different. The Aztecs used a sacred calendar called the Tonalpohualli, a long-count calendar borrowed from the Mayan Tzolk'in system with some modifications added. This ritual calendar was registered in the Tonalmatlas, the Book of Days or Book of Fates of Men, a green fold bark paper or deerskin codexes. The most famous example of this calendar is the Aztec calendar stone, more correctly called the Aztec sun stone, the centerpiece of the National Museum of Anthropology in Mexico City. The Aztec stone was carved during the reign of the 6th Aztec monarch in 1479. It has a diameter just under 12 feet, a thickness of 3 feet, and weighs almost 25 tons. In the center of this stone is the sun god, Tonatiuh. He is surrounded by symbols of the 5 world creations. The outer ring contains the sun or day glyphs. Encoded in the central panel is the date 4 Olin, which correlates to the Mayan end time date of December 21st, 2012, when they anticipated the current world, or fifth age, would be destroyed by earthquakes. Prior to the conquering of the New World, the Europeans believed that Native Americans were ignorant of astronomy, when in fact it was quite the opposite. The Native Americans employed a completely different concept of astronomy, so foreign not to be recognized by European astronomers as astronomy. The great difference was that European astronomers tracked large objects in direct courses, such as the sun and moon, whereas the Native Americans tracked small objects relative to large objects, creating a very complex but accurate cosmic system, so accurate that the solar year could be measured to within minutes. How did the Cherokee come into possession of the wheels of time untime? According to Cherokee legends, the Cherokee originated anciently in South America, maybe from Mu, and migrated northward. After migrating into North America, the Cherokee migrated back and forth from Mexico twice, making the Ozark Plateau their home the second time, about 800 to 1500 years ago. This fact has been proven scientifically by Dr. Tim Jones, a Cherokee descendant, who holds doctorate degrees in both archaeology and anthropology from the University of Arizona. While in Mexico, they apparently came into possession of the calendar device, having been in contact with the Maya. It may have been a gift, or even taken by force, during one of the many Mayan wars. It is not known if any of the calendar devices have survived 1500 years, or if any oral traditions give an account as to what happened to them. Perhaps the Spanish destroyed some of them when they burned the Mayan records, believing them to be tools of the devil, as knowledge of the Tzolk'in was lost in the Yucatan after the Spanish conquest. Maybe the stone medicine wheels of Native Americans are a crude copy and remembrance of the former intricate device. It seems that the medicine wheels are a calendar-like device considered sacred by the Native Americans. The Tzolk'in calendar survives today in the form of a chart. In the chapter, The Future World of Volume 1, the prophecies of the Incas, Mayas, Aztecs, and Cherokees are similar because these peoples at some time in the past came together, exchanged knowledge, and possessed or acquired the Wheels of Time device. Nothing much is said of these calendar devices because they were considered so sacred to the priests that they were rarely displayed to the public. Noting such devices could also weaken their prominence as diviners, if important dates and events could be predicted by merely turning the wheels and reading the corresponding information engraved on the notch. The complex part was the interpretation thereof, which perhaps the priests made appear more complex than it really was. Priests were given high status, and were supported financially and materially in all things by the common people. They wanted for nothing, so why give away your trade secrets and risk losing it all? The Tzolk'in calendar, as stated previously, measured time based on a 26,000-year cycle of the Pleiades. One completed cycle of 26,000 years is called the Great Year, and the end of the 26,000-year cycle marks the end of precession of the equinoxes. Precession was known by ancient Babylonian and Egyptian astronomers of the Middle East, as did Tibetan astronomers in the Far East. It was also known to the Maya, Aztec, Olmec, and Peruvian astronomers on this continent. It is an indication that the Wheels of Time device perhaps was used anciently by Middle and Far Eastern astronomers. The Olmecs were using the Tzolk'in calendar as early as 679 BC. It was probably in use much earlier than that. They either brought the knowledge of the long count calendar to this continent when they arrived here from the Middle East, or were given the knowledge from the Nephilim, or obtained it from Quetzalcoatl during his early travels in South America, Central America, and Mexico. Your authors previously speculated that the Toltecs and Quetzalcoatl perfected the calendar, but according to oral traditions, they did just that. On this continent, the Maya had contact in trade routes with the Aztec, other branches of the Maya, some Native American tribes, and Peruvian cultures. Knowledge apparently was shared concerning astronomy. Your authors feel that the Tolkien calendar has ancient roots that may have originated with Abraham in 2000 BC, or even Shem, the son of Noah. The Book of Jasher tells that Abraham lived and studied under the tutorage of Shem for 39 years. This was the source of Abraham's wisdom, as Shem was the most intelligent man of his time, who understood the physical and spiritual dimensions and their interaction with each other. The Zohar discloses that Abraham was the most learned man of his time in the arts and sciences, and especially in astronomy and astrology. He had a calendar-like device that he wore around his neck and frequently consulted. It is said that people would come every day, even kings, to seek a forecast and reading from the wheels. In Genesis chapter 25, it records that when Abraham grew old, he gave all that he had to his son Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines he gave gifts, and they departed into the east country. The Zohar discloses that these were occult gifts, the Tzolk'in and maybe the I Ching, taken to the east countries by children of his concubines. Most certainly, this calendar device was highly valued by Abraham and his children, who most likely understood how to read and forecast from the calendar. In time, copies were made, and the knowledge spread to the Tibetans, Egyptians, Babylonians, and maybe Chinese astronomers, for a tablet form version of the calendar was used in those regions anciently. From there, it was carried to ancient Mexico by the first settlers from the Middle and Far Eastern countries, the Chichimecas, from whom the Olmecs descend. The Toltecs then received the calendar knowledge and with Quetzalcoatl perfected it and passed the knowledge to the pre-classic Maya. Perhaps the use of the wheel form version was its perfection of the tablet form calendar on this continent. Readers are referred back to the chapter The Giants in Volume 1 for a history of the Chichimecas. The Tolkien calendar ends on December 21st, 2012, at precisely 11:11 a.m., Greenwich Mean Time. The Maya view this as the end of their calendar and the end of time as we know it. There are many who think that time will continue on without incident, that the end of precession is just a zero point in time for the Maya, who will restart their calendar once again. Recently, E.J. Clark visited the ruins of Chichen Itza, Yucatan, Mexico, and had the opportunity to converse with a knowledgeable university-educated Mayan guide. E.J. asked the guide what the Maya believed was going to happen on December 21st, 2012. He replied, "Boom. It's all over. The end of time as we know it. It's gone." He further said that all the Maya dreaded and feared this upcoming date, and that their calendar would not restart time. Most of the world reckons its time with the Gregorian calendar and are not too concerned with the 2012 date. But the Tolkien calendar possesses a little-known capability that other calendars lack. It has the ability to predict events and dates in other dimensions that affect events in this physical universe, and unlike other ancient calendars in current use, it has never been in error. In fact, it is from this ancient calendar that Aztec prophecies were current 4 generations before the coming of the Spaniards, and was the record predicting the arrival of the bearded white men with sharp swords, strange garments, and casks on their heads, who would arrive from across the sea in ships with sails, destroy their gods and the Aztec Empire during the reign of Moctezuma. Accurate even to the very month, day, and year, April 22, 1519. Not only did the calendar predict the month, day, and year, it also gave accurate descriptions of the coming white men and what would happen when they came. The Aztecs put up no resistance because they believed them to be gods. There is no doubt that the Persian Magi, the wise men of biblical times, knew of the impending birth of Christ associated with the Star of Bethlehem through prophecy foretold by the calendar. In ancient times, every astronomer, prophet, magician, magi, priest, and king consulted, studied, and searched this calendar for impending prophetic events, for associated signs in the sky, and for good or bad days to perform certain tasks. Every king had his own personal court astronomers and priests who consulted this document or table on a daily basis and reported back to him. Sometimes wrong interpretations would cost court astronomers and priests their very lives. Furthermore, if Abraham or Shem designed this calendar, then it certainly would add credence to its reliability and accuracy. When EJ learned what was predicted for the 2012 date by this particular calendar, she immediately sat up and took notice, for it is another missing piece of the puzzle that just fell into place. It is the reason why that the Maya all fear and dread this date, and she adds, rightly so. And it is the reason enough that all on this planet should be forewarned. We will continue this chapter in the chapter titled The End Times.